Welcome to another captivating episode of What's Your Dream podcast. Today, we are thrilled to introduce Richard Walsh, a seasoned entrepreneur with over 30 years of experience. Richard is the best-selling author of Escape the Owner Prison, a groundbreaking book that offers contractors a new way to scale, regain control, and fast-track growth while loving life. In addition to his success as an author, Richard is a dynamic speaker and podcast host. He's also a proud husband and father of six, a U.S. Marine, a champion boxer, a black belt, and an internationally recognized steel sculptor. Join us as Richard shares his incredible journey, his insights on achieving balance and growth, and his passion for helping others unlock their full potential. Hello, Richard. How are you doing today?
I am awesome, Tricia. Thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get right in and ask you this first question if you're ready.
I'm ready. I'm always ready.
Awesome. What is your biggest dream or aspiration?
Currently, it is to help 10,000 business owners create more freedom, profit, and impact in their business. Because to me, that's a big legacy thing, because it's not just 10,000. Because if I help the 10,000 business owners, what we do in that process is we elevate their people, not just be competent in their job, but actually elevate them as people. They then take that home to their families, and their families take that into the community. So instead of helping 10,000, I've now touched millions. So to me, that's a pretty big goal.
Exponential. I like it.
Yep.
Yes. So how do you, like, do you have a certain niche of business that you typically work with, or is it just any business?
Yeah, primarily the real niche is the trades and service industries. Okay. So contractors, construction, service businesses, whether it's landscaping, carpet cleaning, whatever you might do. I have hearing aid or hearing doctors. Okay, that's, to me, the service business is medical, but so that's my primary focus.
Awesome. And how do you do that?
How do I do it? Well, we have a 12-month coaching program that they get involved in. So once they come in, we do a lot of pre-talk, obviously see what their business is, what are their biggest challenges. And then we don't change their business. What we do is we start to organize it, right? Because most people are stuck in what I call the owner prison. That's the book I wrote, Escape the Owner Prison, because when they start out in the business, Tricia, you got to work really hard. And I have not found a way not to do that. Okay. So when you're a startup, your first 2 years, a lot of hours, a lot of work, wearing a lot of hats, but then you've got to evolve. And what happens is, next thing you know, 10 years has gone by and they've repeated the first 2 years five times.
Yep.
So they're unable to scale. They're unable to get freedom from their business. They're serving it instead of it serving them. If they don't open the door, the business doesn't happen. So no vacations, no family time, no anything. So we change all that. We show them how to create that freedom, how to systemize their business, right? Standardize things, how to create strategy and have the actionable steps so they can eventually scale controllably. Again, with them only focus on 5% of the business completely, everything else is delegated and done.
Very nice. Yeah. I think that if more business owners, I mean, we go into business just saying, well, I want freedom, you know, and then all of a sudden you're like tied to your desk and you can't go anywhere because you're doing everything, all the tasks. So I love hearing that. And I think that I wish 13 years ago when I started my web design and branding agency that I would have learned what you're teaching and been able to think about scaling right when you start. I would say everybody, right when they start, should be thinking about, okay, how do I check out of this so I can travel the world, or what, you know, whatever your dream is, right?
Yeah, it really is. And there is a secret tool you can use to do that no one knows about.
Yeah.
Especially when they're just starting. And it's called exit strategy.
Yep.
Okay. Which people don't want to think about getting out when they're beginning.
Right.
Because they love it and they're going to do it and it's going to grow and it's going to make them happy for the rest of their life. And that's not reality. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you start with the end in mind, I'll give you the real quick whole deal here. You start with the end. Okay. Well, what do I want? How long do I want to do this? Let's pick a number. Okay. I'm going to say I'm going to do this for 10 years. I'd like to build my business so I can sell it for $10 million and get out and walk away and everything's happy. The business goes, I go do my thing, but okay, that sounds good. But now if I have to reverse engineer that, what does that look like? So I went to the end, now I got to work backwards. So if I do that work backwards, I go, well, Yeah, I'm going to grow a business. So let's see, if I want 10 million, I got to be doing like, okay, 5-7 million a year. I have to be earning, let's say I'm earning seven figures. I'm earning $1 million a year. Well, okay, I sell it for 5 million or 10 million, but now I don't get a million income. I just lost $1 million a year. So what do you do about that? Oh, I start to allocate assets. I create assets. I get them. They're now producing money for me passively. Real estate, business, you know, business ventures, things like that. All of a sudden now, oh, wow, look, I got $83,000 a month coming in passively. I can leave my business. I'm still getting $1 million a year income plus my buyout. Now I can go start another business, do what I want to do. Now I don't take a loss.
Yeah.
Right. Also, that same process, what does that cause me to do? Create a business that's systemized, can run itself. Because no one's going to come and offer you the money that you think your business is worth.
Right.
If that business doesn't run itself, because if they have to do it, come and reinvent everything and fix everything that's broken, they're not going to give you any money for that. Okay.
Right.
So just having that exit strategy causes you to build a business that can sell. So there's a lot of benefit. Then the final piece, when you start doing well and making money and getting some success, opportunities tend to show up. Mm-hmm. People tell you, you should do this and you can make money doing this. Well, a simple answer to that. Okay, let me run that through my exit strategy. If that gets me closer and faster to my exit strategy, it's a go. If it doesn't, it's a hard no. It keeps you from the shiny object syndrome distractions.
Yeah.
So it really keeps you focused on the main thing so you can achieve great things and get what you want.
Absolutely. I love that. Yeah. And I kind of even go to like the personal development piece of it. Like, your exit strategy is going to make you the best version of yourself, right? So if you kind of base your decision or these opportunities on the fact that this is going to make you the best version of yourself, which is going to help you exit your business and help millions of people, right? Then that's where you base your decisions on. And so I think it just kind of gives it that personal development spin on what you just said as well.
I think that's really insightful, because what's going to happen when you're working on the 5% of the business only you can work on, you're not drugged down every day. So think about this, and this is not a class thing, but it's, who does the healthy stuff first? The wealthy, right?
Yep.
It starts at the top because they have time.
Yep.
And they can think about their health. They're not going to, you know, being, they have the means, right? And then it trickles down. Well, when you become, have that time back to you, which that's where the real wealth is, you can focus on working out every day. Yep. You can start buying healthier food. You can start having your food prepared. So that's the personal development part. You're going to get that energy. You're going to have that mind space, that bandwidth to think about bigger things, innovate things, focus on strategy. And that's how you develop as a person, because you'll have to in order to do bigger things.
Yeah. And it helps you have the time to have a little bit more balance in your life, just like you just said, with the nutrition and the exercise, for sure.
Yeah, it's easy to say, I'll make it a priority. Yeah, till life happens, and then you just don't have the bandwidth for it. You know, you're eating out of a window every day.
Yep.
You know, and it's terrible.
Awesome. All right. Ready for a second question?
Bring it on.
All right. What makes you feel grateful and full of joy today?
Wow. I would have to start with my wife and 6 children. Mm-hmm. Because we've raised them and they're almost all grown. I have a 19, 2 18s, 2 17s, and a 16. Yeah. Gotta make sure I got the numbers right. Yeah. And what they're becoming, and the whole process, we homeschooled them from the very beginning, right? So we got them all through that. And that has been probably my greatest joy, seeing that. Of all the business I've done, all the success and the awards and everything I've done, that's like cool, but it's nothing like this, because my children are more the legacy. Right. They're going to carry on things, and they're all going to do great things. And one's already in the Marine Corps and doing great things, and the rest are on their way. And it's just awesome. So I'd put that as the number one.
Yeah. It's just so interesting. I have an 18-year-old that is, she started her own podcast. She's writing a book, and she's doing, like, she wouldn't admit it. Right. And she's following in my footsteps, but 20 years earlier. So it's so cool to see your kids and just be able to create that generational change, which is my why, is to, okay, I don't want my kids to go through this or this, you know, I want them to be able to have that 20 years earlier rather than be figuring things out when they're nearly 40.
Yeah, it's so wise, because I tell my kids a lot of times, like my first 20 years in business, I say, so I did all this, don't do that. Okay. It cost me an extra 10 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Of doing things the hard way, twice as hard and everything else. I said, but like you're saying, when they're podcasting, they're writing books, stuff like that, that is like adults don't write books, right? I have a best-selling book. You write because 82% of all Americans want to write a book and 2% do.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's already in the 2%.
Right.
Okay. At 18 years old, right? It's beautiful. And everything just gets more better. You like that more better? That's wrong, right?
Hey, I'll go with it. More better.
Much more better.
Yep.
It's more better. More better. Yeah.
All right. What are the most significant lessons you've learned throughout your life and how have they shaped you as a person?
I would say a lesson I learned is, so I believe I'm genetically, I have a genetic absence of empathy. Okay. So I'm not a very empathetic person. Okay. Naturally, some people are, mm-hmm. I am not. One of my lessons is to learn to be empathetic. So I had to train myself to be that way because I'm pretty intense and hardcore and I'm not an excuse guy. And it's that when you have a low empathy, you can really be good at those things, mm-hmm. right? You can be really hardcore, really focused, really non-accepting of, and I don't like excuses regardless, but you know, you don't have grace.
Yeah.
You don't have grace for people, you know, I have a very short friend list because of things like that, right? Because you just are that way. So I think that's one of the big faults I had. That combined with never asking for help.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very much ego and pride driven. And I'm a Marine. I'm going to do it myself. I'll just work harder. I'll work longer. And I, you know, that whole, what I call the hustle and grind mentality, which is absolute nonsense. Okay. Like I get it in startup, but people think that's the way they're supposed to live forever. That whole mentality almost destroyed everything I had. So in 08, 09, when the economy collapsed and all of a sudden my business suffered and it imploded, I have 6 small kids under 4. I have a wife, I have a home. I lost the home, lost my business. Okay, well, what happened, right? All of a sudden, all this stuff that you had, you drove hard for, but it was all on you, is gone. Like in a day, one day I lost $500,000 and it kept going off the cliff from there,
yeah.
Right? So that was ego and pride caused that. That wasn't the economy. The economy is just an indicator. I don't blame 08, 09. I blame all the stuff I didn't do.
Yeah.
I didn't put in place that I ignored or moved to the left of my desk. See, so those are the big lessons. Like you got to do the hard work.
Yeah.
That's the big takeaway. Like I know. And if it's really horrible and you really hate it, you find a way to hire someone and have them do it. Do not just ignore it.
Yep.
Because it'll cause your demise.
Yes. Yes. I think that's so interesting because I am the exact opposite. I am like one of the most empathic people I've ever met in my life. And I see the good in everyone. But I feel like for certain people, I have like no tolerance. So I don't know exactly where that is, like where that comes from. Go ahead.
That comes from discernment. That's what that is. You have discernment. Okay.
Yeah.
That's why you can make that call. And that's a good thing to have.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, sometimes the empathy has gotten me in trouble. So it's finding that middle road too, that middle balance of empathy and certain people that you should have empathy for. So yeah, especially when you've been through those struggles.
Yeah. It's, you know, there, but for the grace of God, right? Go I. That's what it's like. Well, okay. Yeah. It didn't bother you, but it crushed them.
Yeah.
And what might crush me, they don't have a problem with, right? So it's the balance, I guess what you said, really a balance of understanding. It's understanding is grace. It's just empathy.
Yep.
And if you don't have it, you can train yourself. I'm still not awesome at it.
Yeah.
But I went from zero to having some, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So if a business owner that was kind of, that had lost everything overnight, kind of like you did, came to you, do you think you'd be more tolerant of them or do you think you would be more empathetic? Do you think you'd be more empathetic towards them? Or do you think that you would be like, no, get your shit together?
Yeah, I think the first question is, well, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
It's a simple question. Are you going to lay down and die?
Yeah.
Or are you going to make something happen? Because like me, I've been self-employed, doing running my business for 20 years. I am unemployable. So my options were really limited on what I was going to be able to do. Either, you know, start something new and make it happen, or go be a slave for someone else. You know, so, you know, that was kind of the deal. So I'd be pretty hard with them, because I know that's what they need. So if they want to start another business, well, I do want to recover. All right, let's get started.
Yep.
And we hit the ground running. There's no, you're not going to ease into it because you've already done it.
Yeah.
You've already been there. Now this is, you're in advanced training now.
Yep.
Okay. You got that. You did all the other stuff. Yeah.
Do you prefer to work with people that are just starting out, or do you prefer to work with those people that are kind of like at this breaking point where they just absolutely have to do something different?
Yeah, startups are really difficult to work with. Yep. And here's why. They don't have scars. They have to lose some money. They have to have challenges. They have to have some, you know, small failures, things like that. Otherwise, they can't appreciate the value that I bring.
Yep.
They don't know what they don't know, right? They don't need. So I want people who are in business 5 to 15 years. Maybe they have 5 to 50 employees doing maybe €1 million gross and up from there. Because those are the people where they're at that point now where they understand I'm stuck.
Yep.
And they may not be losing everything. So I don't necessarily I am a great turnaround guy. I can turn business around in a heartbeat, but I want the long-term effects, right? So I get those people who are like, right, just when they realize it, it's just the right time.
Yeah.
You know, and those times vary for different owners, but that's when they come in and we do the most good.
Yeah. Yep. Awesome. Yeah. I had a conversation with a bunch of like a women's networking event one time, and I had everybody raise their hand if they had even done a business plan, and only like 2 or 3 people had. So it's kind of like that same theory, right? Like you have to get to a breaking point to maybe even rewrite that business plan, or because what you would do, I mean, I'm sure a business plan is probably part of it. What do you want to even do here going forward?
Right. Right. Yeah. We call it strategic vision.
Yeah.
So we create the strategic vision of the company. So yep. It's a vision driven company, and that's a 6 to 10 page document.
Yeah.
Like a business plan, a good business plan can be 1 page.
Yeah.
A strategic vision that your whole company is going to be driven by can be 6 to 10, 12, 15 pages.
Yeah. I just like that title, strategic vision. I like it.
Me too.
Yep. What inspires you and motivates you to keep going even when faced with challenges?
I don't like to lose. I'm not big on losing. I'm a little competitive. I'm a lot competitive. Okay. So that's part of it. But I just feel like I don't like quitting. I just feel like, so you ever read the book Grit by Angela Duckworth?
I have not. I love book recommendations.
Phenomenal book. Oh, Grit is get it. Okay. Now this woman is a researcher. I mean, this is like 300 some pages, right? On grit. So when she shows these, you know, very successful people, you know, household name people, whatever, but she shows the journey. It's endless persistence. Mm-hmm. All we ever see is the end, right? You see the celebrity. You didn't know they worked 10 years to get their first shot, right? Right. So it's really the grit aspect that I have. I just can't, I'm a finisher. I can't start something and not complete what I set out to complete. I'm a Marine. I have to accomplish the mission.
Yep.
So for me, that's why it's like that. And it's frustrating. And if you're like, quick one. So when I met my wife, we got married when I was 34, right? So business was awesome. I was killing it.
Yeah. Right.
We did all that stuff. And then she had never been through the business building phase.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when everything collapsed in 08, 09, okay. So we've been married 10 years. Okay. Buckle up. Cause that reclimbing that mountain is not a fun process.
Right.
Okay. And if you haven't been through it, you came in when things were good. I mean, she's an unbelievable woman because we're still married at 25 years now. So I'm like, but to hold on, I mean, cause it's rough. It's really, really rough. So it really is that determination, that willingness to succeed in my own way, to complete what I started. I think in a nutshell, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's such a good message, because I mean, I've had those moments as a business owner, those times, I should say, not just moments. And it's like, what am I doing? what am I doing? I need to get a job, you know, and I'm unhireable as well. I've been a business, like an entrepreneur, for so many years that there's just no way. Mm-hmm. And I've definitely had those times in my business. And so I can totally relate to that. And it's like, I mean, especially just being a single mom, and it's all on my shoulders, like every bit of it. And that's what you have to do. You have to push through. You have to market the crap out of things. You have to do the hard things. And then hopefully eventually you can outsource those to other people. And like you said, become 5% of the decision maker.
Right. Yeah. It's, you know, I think the challenge is they won't step out and go, okay, I can quit right now. Ring the bell, if you will, right? There's an old SEAL thing. We just ring the bell and you're out. You quit. It's easy. Yep. Just ring the bell. Ring the bell three times and you're done. So go ahead a year, jump ahead, and look back at when you quit. And you go, was I dead? Oh, I didn't die. Nice. Wow, I was still breathing. Wow. I could have still been, wow. And now look what I learned. Yep. Boy, if only I stayed. That's how you have to think when you're in those moments.
Yep.
Like pain's temporary.
Yep.
Pain's just temporary. It's always going to go away, you know, and you can push through it and get to it and get to the other side. Then you can look back and now you have a story. Right. Otherwise your story is of quitting and I'm not into that.
Yeah. Yep. I can relate. So what do you hope to leave behind in the world as your legacy? And then I always have a little bit of a caveat to this question of, what do you want people to say about you at your funeral?
Like funeral questions. Yeah, have you done the funeral exercise? You lay in your coffin right now and listen to what would people say as they walk by you right now?
No.
If you checked out today, that's a good exercise.
Yeah.
That's a really good exercise because if you're honest with yourself, it's a good exercise.
Yeah.
You know, but okay, I'll do both parts here. So legacy, really, I'm going to go back to my children. You know, like I want to do the 10,000 business. I want to affect 1 million people and all that. But the real legacy is going to be my children and what they continue to do and what they carry on. And I don't want them necessarily doing what I did. I'll never make a child follow in my footsteps, but I want them to blaze their own trail, but know that it was inspired by me because of how I lived. I'm a bit of a contrarian. I see the world a little bit different, and they're able to take that and use it to their advantage and carry it on, hand it down from there. Yep. Right. So I'd love to affect a couple generations going forward.
Yeah.
That'd be that. And what was the caveat part?
What do you want people to say about you at your funeral?
Yes. Oh, yes. The dead part. and I'm going to be straight up honest and authentic with you. I just have a feeling there's not going to be a lot of people there. And I don't, only because it's like, I'll never retire. I'll be working. Then I'm going to like die. And then by the time people hear, it'll be too late. I'm in the ground. Okay. So, and I'm kind of being funny, but I'm really not. What I'm going to say was that was a guy. They're going to say, you know, one thing I respect about him, like things I may not agree with, but like that man held to his principles. Mm-hmm. They held to his beliefs. He drove with them. You know, he never took a knee. He worked through it and accomplished what he wanted to accomplish to the best of his ability. And I respect him for that. And he left an incredible legacy inside his family.
Yeah.
That's what I'd like to hear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think all of like anybody that's in personal development or anybody that has, you know, taken these leaps of faith and started their own business and, you know, just done the work that it actually takes, because owning a business is going to make every fear you've ever had in your life come up. And so it's like one of those things where all these fears are coming up and the personal development pieces take over and I end up with less friends because I am a little less tolerant of how people are. I want to surround myself with people like me that are willing to do the work, that are willing to meet, you know, just do everything they can to make their goals, take the action that it takes, write the book. If they want to write the book, you know, what are you doing? So I guess the older I get, between that and then just the more into personal development I get, I think I have less friends as well. So I can relate to that for sure.
Yeah. And it's just, you want a small circle. It's going to be small.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be, but they're the ones that are going to lift you up.
Yep.
No matter what happens, because they've been there, they know it. You're on the same mission.
Yeah.
Okay. You're all moving towards something else, and you can't, and we all do that. They say, well, what's the great thing? The five people, your closest five friends, your circle, they reflect exactly what you are, how much you make, what you do, and all that stuff. Right. So I think it's important we select that, because I think it was Jim Rohn who said, you don't get what you want, you get who you are.
Yes, it
Like,
was.
think about that. And I'll tell you, from all the businesses I've been in and run, when I hire people, I look back on that saying and go, oh, I just kept hiring me.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, where you want that, where people at least are all on the same page, right? So you can move forward. So it's very interesting. But the better I became as an individual, the empathy and everything else, yeah, the people all started to change too. So it's a very positive thing when you think about it, or it can be.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. What is one action you take every day to get closer to your dreams?
I have rituals, right? We all, what another, not that Jim Rohn's the only guy I know, but he also said we are defined by our rituals, mm-hmm, right? So I wake up 4 a.m. 7 days a week, okay? And I start, you know, I'm saying clean up. I drink 32 ounces of water, brush my teeth, do that stuff, get some performance mushroom coffee going. I have two of those. I do a Bible study. I do my Bible reading for about a half an hour, 45 minutes. I do that. Then I listen to some music. I think about the day. I get ready. 5:30, I'm out the door. I go to the gym. I do about an hour high intensity workout, Monday through Friday, sometimes Saturdays. Come back, prepare my meal. So I'll make my own breakfast every day, very healthy. I'll eat that. Then I get to work. Okay. Sometimes I just come to the office. Sometimes I can work from home. Do either one, I get that going. That's probably the key to my success, because what I stack in those first 3 to 4 hours sets the tone. Absolutely. So I've got health, I've got hydration, right? I've got my spiritual aspect, and I've got my faith. I've got nutrition that goes into me. And then my mind is set, understands I have a calendar, I do the day. So to me, that's where my success comes from.
Yes, I totally agree with that. And I love that you put the water before the coffee. The water is the important part, because I mean, your body's dehydrating overnight. So to rehydrate right when you wake up, absolute must.
32 ounces within 5 minutes of waking up. That's what I drink.
Yeah.
And do you know, you probably know, but it can decrease the chances of stroke by like 400%, because most people have strokes in the morning because of dehydration and stuff. So you just wake up and... So I do 70 by 7. That's my thing I created. I drink 70 ounces of water by 7 a.m.
Wow. Yeah, I'd never heard of that. And so 400% decrease.
I made it up. Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's amazing. Yeah, it's hydration is huge. So I drink water and then my two coffees in the morning. I don't drink anything else. So I'm a water guy, or I'm performance coffee.
Yes.
It's awesome. Beyond coffee. It's performance coffee.
All right. Is it mud water?
It's the best you ever. It's Laird Superfoods. I'm doing a shameless plug for Laird. Laird Superfoods is a dark roast Peruvian coffee, a high altitude coffee with functional mushrooms. Finest dark roast you'll ever drink. I kid you not.
I'm Laird, a coffee. L-A-I-R-D.
Yes. The great big wave surfer guy.
Yeah.
Incredible line of health food. Man.
Awesome.
Good stuff. Yes.
Awesome. I love hearing that stuff though.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Change your life.
Shameless plug. All right. So is there anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
You know, I think we talked a lot about this in the episode. And I think one of our themes is persistence, resolution, right? I think that's the big takeaway. I learned a quote, 25 years ago. I was reading this book called Outdoor Athlete by Steve Ilg. And I'm like, oh, really good. And he has quotes, all these people. And he had this kind of longer quote, didn't have a tribute to anyone, not even unknown. So I'm like, well, it must have been him. And can I share it with you?
Absolutely.
Okay. It goes, dedication to a goal that never wavers. Resolution. This is the basic principle in the life of every truly great character. He who resolves upon any great and good end has, by that very resolution, clothed himself in power and has scaled the chief barrier to it. I think
I would have to read that a couple times.
Yeah, I've had it on my gym wall, because on gyms I had it, you know, painted on the walls. I mean, but it's dedication. It's just resolution. It's you're going to get there. So when you look at the greats, the people who did great things, just like that book, Grit, you're going to see it's just, they overcame so much and they just stayed in the game. stayed in the fight, stay in the fight, stay in the fight. You know,
yeah.
Obviously, sharpen the spirit coaching, we kind of have a warrior mentality, and it's you'll see the, you know, the tie-ins.
Great. Yeah, I think I've learned just in the last couple of years, like I used to always skip the introductions of books instead of reading the people's story before, because typically it's their story leading into the book itself. And I used to skip it. And I've really started realizing how important it is to hear other people's stories, to be relatable, to hear that you can do it too, because that is one of the things I think that keeps your persistence and your discipline and just keeps you going.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And what I encourage all my kids to do and anyone I deal with in business is read books about people like Ernest Shackleton in the Endurance, stuck on the Arctic ice for 2 years and brought everyone home alive, touching the void. Go to people who have done these unbelievably hard things. So when you're crying because, I don't know, you're like struggling in business, you got a perspective. These guys were stuck on the Arctic ice for 2 years.
Right.
Eating penguins and whale blubber. And like, you're complaining about this little hiccup today. Like, right. Let's get a grip. Okay. So if they could do that, you can get through today. I promise you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for sharing your insights, and we will have all of your links and everything so people can find you.
I love it. Thank you so much, Tracy. This has been awesome. I appreciate the conversation.
Yep. You're welcome.